Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida. And I am so delighted to be with you once again, as we've been doing for over 30 years now here in this neck of the woods. And that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida, and our friends up in the greater Atlanta area at WAEC, Love 860, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. Oh man, it's such a joy to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord. And I have a very special message today I want to share with you that I'm calling The Lord is Our Life Planner. That's the portrait of God I want us to look at today. And as you know, I see every passage in the scripture and collections of them as giving us vivid portraits of God so we can know his heart and character, because that is how we can learn to really abide in him to bear much fruit, which we'll talk about today. But the key portrait in my mind and heart is how he is our life planner among many, many, many other things and roles in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going over to Jeremiah 29 and then John 15, then 1 Peter 4. And all. And as you're making your way to Jeremiah 29, just a quick reminder that all of these radio messages, they're 27 minutes, are archived on my website. That's markpg.org, markpg.org. Well, you'll also find 3-minute videos on the portraits of God. There's 62 of them. And then you'll find articles and also quick reference guides to all kinds of topics, hot topics in life and in church life, and also some hot topics about various whispers of God, like love and prayer and humility and just to encourage your heart. So yeah, you can find that at markpg.org, and that is where, you know, my whole point is to help you hear God. And that's my point today as well. So as we get started, let's ask him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so blessed to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at your feet and do the best I can just to take a journey together through the scriptures, to see all of these different portraits of who you are, what you're like, how you love us. So today, as we see how you are our life planner, oh, that is such a powerful, powerful truth, especially in this chaotic world in which we live, with so many decisions to make and struggling with who we are and what we're called to do and what we should do and how to make an impact in this world, how to honor you, glorify you. I mean, so many things, and it gets dizzying, Lord. So today, I pray we'll take a deep breath as we sit at your feet and gaze in your eyes and listen for your heart as you unfold for us how simple your life plan actually is for us. Oh, thank you, Lord. We look forward to hearing your heart. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. Well, all right, my friend, I'm really, really pumped about sharing this truth about how the Lord is our life planner and how we can live that out in a far more simple way than we probably think we're able to do. So, let's get started. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. Let me get the excerpts out of here for you. As we talk about this key theme about how the Lord is our life planner from the beginning. Yeah. So Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, "For I know," this is God talking, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." And then skipping on down, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That is a tremendous starting place for this journey today. where we get our portrait of God about He is our life planner. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And then He paints this picture of how we get to call upon Him. He is right there, ready to be called upon all the time from the get-go, and to pray or commune or converse with Him day by day, listening for the whispers of God, and how He will listen to us. And how the more that we seek Him with all of our heart, the more He draws us deeper and deeper into His heart. Oh, my friend, that is the simple focal point of the Christian life. That's the Old Testament starting place for that in Jeremiah 29. Of course, it's all over the Old Testament. But also in the New Testament, I take you now to John 15, verse 5, where it is really graphically illustrated in this way. When Jesus says in Matthew 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. All right, let's take an inventory of what we just saw here. He is saying that apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. You cannot do the plans that I have for you. I need you to abide in me. This is your simple focal point, he's saying to us. Abide in me. Hang with me. Saturate yourself with me. Immerse yourself in me. And this vine and branches thing is very simple. If the roots of the vine are not abiding in the ground, in the soil, it will not bear fruit. Jesus is our life-giving, life-planning God. All we have to do is just focus on abiding in Him, and we will bear much fruit. We will be following the plan He has for us. Now, I know that's the big picture. I know that's a big general truism. And I know that you may have heard this 1,000 times. How do we actually practice this? Well, you know, there's so many passages you can go to, but I was struck by 1 Peter chapter 4, and let me invite you to make your way there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And what struck me is that it starts with this: the end of all things is near. So let me stop right there. Okay, so Peter is writing. He says, hey, gang, the end of all things is near. So let me just give you the bottom line stuff. Let me give you the focal point. Let me give you the material points, the big pole in the tent. You know, these are the things. These are four things we really need to focus upon as a lifestyle if we want to really abide in Christ and glorify God in all that we do. Hey, by the way, just a quick reminder that the classic catechism, the Shorter Catechism, asks, what is the chief end of man? And I put it this way. In fact, I rewrote it into rhyming verse. Why is it that man is here? To glorify God forever with cheer. It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever in the original. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the chief purpose of man. And we're also being told to abide in Christ in order to do that. And that if we want to know His plans, it's involving how we abide in Christ. So there's four simple words I'm going to give you today that's out of this passage in 1 Peter 4, chapter 7 through 11, that highlights the Lord as our life planner. This is the plan, basically, I have for you to do these four things, and everything else will flow out of that. Your career, who you choose to be your life mate, where you go to school, how you treat one another, the church that you attend, hot issues that come up. Look, if you approach all of those things from these four life practices, one word each, four life practices to abide in Christ and glorify God, my friends, you will be following the plan of God for your life, and He'll unfold it for you with all the particulars as life goes on. All right? So here we are. I'm going to reduce it to four key words. Let's pick it up again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, now, after after I read that phrase, the end of all things is near, therefore, he said, okay, now what do you got for it? He says, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. If you're a note taker, these are the four key words, the 4 points for today, these four life practices to abide in Christ and glorify God, who is our life planner. Number one, pray. Number one, pray. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. So, do you pray? In fact, let me just unpack that a little bit for us. We know we say prayers, right, at meals, at bedtime. Well, I'm talking about saying prayers. I'm talking about something far deeper than that. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says to pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. All right, pray without ceasing. That means quoting some stock dinner prayer and some stock bedtime prayer constantly throughout the day? Of course not. What it means is prayer is actually an ongoing conversation with God. You've heard me say this many times. The whispers of God are all around us. It's the noise of our confusion from within our hearts and the noise of a crazy world around us that tends to drown out the whispers of God. But he is always conversing with you, my friends. In fact, one of the most graphic scriptural expressions of this is John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And that's the Greek word logos that's translated into word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But there's an additional or acceptable definition or translation of logos from the Greek into English. You can use word, most do, but you can also use the word conversation, and it's just as accurate. In the beginning was the conversation. The conversation was with God. The conversation was God. My friends, prayer is without ceasing. It is an ongoing conversation with the Lord God of the ages. Do you pray without ceasing? Do you have that constant sense of interacting with the Lord, that your thoughts, his whispers are embedded within there? Do you listen for them? How's your prayer life going? Hey, by the way, another way to kind of highlight this is to talk about how we're to pray like Jesus. I mean, he's our best model of it, right? So here's one of the fruit of abiding in him is to have a life of prayer, to pray. Jesus, well, he prayed daily. It's scripture says in Mark 1:35 that in the early morning dark, Jesus got up to pray. Do you pray daily? You get up early? I hope so. It's wonderful to see that star field. Maybe take a walk outside, start your prayer time there. Also, Jesus prayed humbly. Matthew 11:28 tells us that he describes his heart this way. I am gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy. The burden is light. Do you humbly pray to the Lord, or are you whiny, demanding? Pray without ceasing. Pray daily. Pray humbly. Pray honestly. Jesus did this in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26. Father, not my will, but thine be done. He was in anguish, and he was very honest with the Lord. And if you're going to pray like Jesus, not just daily, humbly and honestly, but also thankfully, you know, up in Philippians 4, 6, we have this overarching passage. It says, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, my friend, pray. Don't just talk about praying. Don't just plan to pray. Don't just schedule your prayer time. Pray. Have that sense of constantly listening for the whispers of God and responding. Pray daily. Pray humbly. Pray honestly. Pray thankfully, like Jesus. Okay, so that's number one. If you're going to follow God's plan for your life, he says, abide in me. And to do that, you, number one, pray. Here's number two, you love. We pick it up in 1 Peter 4, that 7 through 11 passage, once again, verse 8, right after he says, therefore be of good judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer, then he says this, above all, okay, now that really gets my attention. Above all, the top thing, top priority, the main point, the key focus, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. How is your spirit of loving others? Even goes on in that 1 Peter passage to say, be hospitable and without complaint. Do you find yourself complaining about people around you, pointing fingers, blaming them for heartache in your life, you know? And it says, be hospitable without complaint. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. So we pray first. The reason we pray first is that we are incapable of loving people as messy as they are, as sinful as they are, as hurtful as they can be in our lives. Let's be very honest, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's neighbors, whoever it is, they're going to hurt you from time to time. They're going to disappoint you from time to time. And the closer they are, the deeper those hurts can be. Father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister. It can be crushing, some of the things that happen in family life and among relatives. And this is saying, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. How can I do that? You can't without praying. If you have cultivated your abiding in Christ to bear much fruit with prayer as a priority, and you're in constant communion with Him, my friend, do you realize that sets you up to hear the voice of God constantly? And one of the things He will tell you is, I love you. I have an unconditional love for you. I believe in you. I delight in you. Do you believe that? Because when you pray and you commune with God and you abide with Him and you cultivate that love relationship with Him, it begins to fill your heart. You feel totally loved. You feel unconditionally loved. Even when you mess up, He loves you all the more. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He says this over and over and over again. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It is absolutely true, my friend. And to the degree you pray without ceasing, number one, you will hear His whispers of how much He loves you, even when you're struggling, especially when you're struggling. And when you feel that much love, it just overflows. It just drips from your pores, even to people who have hurt you. God, forgive them. They know not what they do. Or even deeper than that, like the story of Joshua in Genesis, when he brothers who sold him into slavery, when they showed up years later, he said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. I still love you. That's only supernaturally possible. Joseph was a man of prayer. And when his brothers showed up, he had such a saturated sense of the love of God in his own life, he couldn't help but love those struggling brothers as well, because he struggled just like they did. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Pray, receive your love from the Lord constantly, and you will be able to keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. And, you know, one of the ways to really kind of take an inventory on how well the fruit of love is coming out in your life, loving like Jesus. He loved deeply, warmly, and strongly. Let's look at that one, that first one. He loved deeply. Like 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient, kind, trusting, humble, gracious, sacrificial, peaceful, forgiving, truthful, enduring, and loyal. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, great description of love. Jesus modeled that in his entire life, and he does so today. That's how he loves you, my friend. Receive that. He also loves warmly with the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and following. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Do you love that way? Do you receive the love of Jesus as deeply as he gives it to you, as warmly as he gives it to you and pass it on to other? But then it's also a love that is strong. He loves strongly. Romans 8:38, nothing can separate us from his love. People hurting you? That's okay. Jesus deeply, warmly, strongly loves you. Let that saturate your heart and let that love of Jesus spill out to the others who are struggling, just like you struggle, my friends. All right, so here we go. The Lord, our life planner, gives us these four life practices of how to abide in Christ to bear much fruit and to glorify God. Number one, pray. Number two, love. Number three, serve. So pray, love, serve. Let me take you to verse 10 there in 1 Peter 4. It says this, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I love this. I love this. We're to serve each other humbly as good stewards of the grace of God. The gifts that we have, and that's a whole other series about the motivational gifts we have in Romans chapter 12, like prophecy and exhortation and teaching and administration and serving and giving and mercy. And then the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts. God's given us these gifts not to hoard, but to use, to serve one another as good stewards of his grace, because it's by his grace. These are grace gifts that he gives to us, my friend. We're to serve like Jesus served, with uniqueness, because we do have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, according to Romans 12. And we do have different callings, as we just said in earlier in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you and a hope. He calls us within our unique giftedness and wants us to serve others humbly. It's not about getting people to serve you. It's not about manipulating people. It's not about using people for your own. It's serving everybody that you come across. If we're cultivating a life of abiding in Christ to bear fruit and glorify God, we pray, we love, we serve. And that you can do as often as you like. And the more you do, the more joy you're going to have. But if you're looking for others to love you, looking for others to serve you, and you can't get them to do that, you're trying to make them do that, you're trying to persuade them or manipulate them or whatever to do, you're going to be frustrated, because life is not about being served, but it's about serving. Mark 10, 45 tells us that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. But finally, the Bible says here in this 1 Peter 4, 7, that the last of the four life practices to abide in Christ and glorify God, to make it crazy simple, is to pray, love, serve, and number four, speak. To speak. Listen to this in verse 11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Oh, I love this, my friend. Those whispers I've been talking about that you're listening for, pass them on. Don't keep them to yourself. Don't hoard them. You speak the truths of God with others. The gospel, the basic gospel, the how much he loves them, how much he has, and even the warnings, because God gives us warnings to protect us as well. But we speak the utterances of God, the scriptural truths. We do it winsomely. We do it as a lifestyle. We don't want to preach and point and stuff. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting, not you. So the Bible gives us a way, two ways to do this. We're to speak the truth in love. And when we do, we grow up in all aspects unto Him. That's Ephesians 4. When you speak to people, do you speak with love? Do you speak the truths of God with love, or harshly and sternly, angrily, impatiently? Don't do that. In fact, if you want to get even more specific, 2 Timothy 2:24 tells us how to speak the truth in love, how to speak as though they are utterances of God, right from His heart, right from the Scriptures. It says to do it this way: the servant of the Lord, or the bondservant of the Lord. That ties it to number three about serving. The bondservant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those that are in opposition, that God may grant repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they might come to their senses and be rescued from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. So there it is. Speak the rescuing gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak the love of Jesus Christ to those around you in this spirit of kindness and patience and gentleness, my friend. This is the fourfold focus of life practices to abide in Christ and glorify God and fulfill His plan for you, because the Lord is our life planner. Well, Lord, thank you for this word today. I love the simplicity. I need this because I get so confused sometimes, disoriented. But then you get me focused again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Check out markpg.org for more. Till next time, abide in Christ to bear much fruit.